Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here we go. Nikki, we have to pause our conversation.
Okay.
Because joining us right now via satellite is your son, Mackenzie Soul. Woo woo! Hello, Mackenzie!
Yeah! How are you? I'm joking. That's a joke. I'm just kidding.
How are you, honey?
I miss you. How are you?
I'm okay. You know, one day at a time, every day.
Of course. That's all you can do.
Every day is a struggle and every day is a success story.
And I've done 24 hours with you, so I can't, 24 hours with her now, and I can tell you she is as crazy as always.
Yeah, people who watch the show, they're like, I've been asked this a few times, but Abby, is she really like that in real life? I love her to death, but yes. Yes, she is.
I always say worse. And they say, is the show set up? I'm like, no, they have to tone it down to air it.
What about today with the car?
Oh, my goodness.
What happened?
Listen,
wait,
to this.
What?
See, so, this is why I need someone to videotape me all the time.
Right, so today we... So for anybody that doesn't know, Abby has a disabled van and there's no driver's seat because she pulls her wheelchair into the driver's seat and drives with her hands. Mm. So you can't ballet because there's no chair and there's no pedals to drive the car. So we pull up at the doctor's and it's ballet only. And
it's a fancy doctor.
Yeah, it's ballet only. And they had put... anybody's cars in the disabled spot.
Two disabled random spots. Little cars.
And they just put normal cars in, and so Abby's ramp can't come down, blah, blah. So she tried to explain to the guy, you need to move the cars from the disabled spot so I can come in and put the ramp down. And he said, well, no, just pull up in front and your ramp can come down and you can go in. And I went, but no, there's a wheelchair. And she explained again, he didn't get
twice.
It. So I was trying to tell him, you won't be able to drive this. And she's like, shh. He said, pull up, let's just do what the man said. She pulled the car up, dropped the ramp, wheeled off and went in the doctor's office for like an hour and a half. Left the car, they couldn't do anything. But guess what? I have got to give credit where credit's due. We came back, I was dying. I wanted the ground to swallow me up. I was like, oh my goodness, we can't do this, we can't. She'd already gone.
I wanted the ground to swallow me.
I was mortified. And then we came back and I was dying, like my heart, and they'd done it. I don't know how they'd done it, they'd park.
He must have just stood up.
And worked out how to use the hand.
They just squatted. I said, just squat and figure it out. But the thing is, I'm sick and tired, especially in this town. I don't know what it is. I'm sick and tired of men telling me what to do. I don't like it. I don't really like anybody telling me what to do. But when you're trying to explain to somebody that you're in a wheelchair and that's not going to work, and they just are insistent, no, this is what we're going to do, then okay, screw you, do it.
So she pulled up, drove out the van and just left it, gave him the keys, just left it. And then he was going, and they were shouting, miss, miss, miss. Boom, she just kept riding.
You know what? Well, I'm just going to be getting ready. I need to show you something, Abby. Hang on. I need to show you something I'm very proud of. Yeah!
Oh, you had it framed and mounted?
I got my golden ticket.
That's beautiful, sweetheart. Well, you got a golden ticket from me the day you walked into my studio.
That's very true. That means more to me than that does.
Okay,
well.
Good. Priorities. Okay, now, what do you remember about that first day your mom brought you to the studio?
I remember everything. I remember, because my mom watched the show. We were living in this little studio apartment. And, you know, I was on a couch. My mom had the bed and she would always watch Dance Moms. And the TV was like, so the bed was here. It was like a Murphy's bed, but the TV was like next to the bed.
Right.
So she'd always sit on my couch bed to watch Dance Moms. So I had to stay up until 1-2 in the morning watching 20 episodes of Dance Moms.
Okay.
I don't even know if you knew that story. And then she brought me to your studio to start dancing again because I gave up dancing for a long time, you know, because of football and my friends and just wanted to change my life up a little bit. And then we came to your
studio. So tell, wait, stop there for a moment. Tell all of our fans that are listening, we have many dancers or gymnasts or cheerleaders that are subscribers to the Leave It on the Dance Floor podcast, a lot of their moms. Can we give a little background of your resume as starting out at 6 years old with
Dr. Doolittle?
Dr. Doolittle. You were an actor, singer, voiceover?
Actor, singer, voiceover. Yeah. I've done everything. I lived in LA. I had to know how to do everything.
Well, wait.
You didn't listen to the question. She asked you to start.
Start with Dr. Doolittle at six and take us through.
Start with what? Dr. Doolittle? Oh, musical theater.
Everything. What is your... People don't know this, Mackenzie. People don't know all of your accomplishments. And I want everybody here listening to the podcast to know what you really are, that you are in it. You are living this life. This dream is not just like some bogus dream that some... athlete used to sing, or some this guy or that guy or whatever, I'm going to be a pop star because I'm too lazy to work. Not that type of thing. That you have been working towards this goal for your entire life.
So I started off musical theater, 6 years old. I did my first musical, Dr. Doolittle, with Tommy Steele, who is very famous in the UK.
Okay.
And I just kept doing musicals as a kid. I loved them. I would do auditions. I did Oliver, Sound of Music, Evita. I did Evita as well. I did a lot of musicals. But there was one I took very seriously, and that was Billy Elliot. And you had to know how to do ballet, tap, modern jazz. You had to know how to do everything, dance for that. And I was playing soccer at the time at a high level as a kid. And it was difficult because kids who played soccer with me, you know how guys are in the locker room, you know, it was difficult. And I had to choose one or the other. And for that time and period, I gave it up. You know, I, that's something I would say to the people watching this as well. Don't do what I did. I let people get to my head. I let people tell me what I should do and what I shouldn't do.
You let people bully you.
Yeah, I got bullied as a kid. Yeah.
Just like Billy Elliot. The whole story, you're from the north of England and that's where the show was. That's what it was about. It was about these working class men and dads. And they had this little boy.
And he wanted to be a boxer. So I guess soccer is my boxing. I guess I did have Billy's
story. No, he didn't want to be a boxer. His dad wanted him to be a boxer.
Yeah.
At first he wanted to be a boxer before he found out what ballet and dancing was. But then he found that new thing and then he wanted to give it up. And I did the opposite of Billy in real life. I should have kept dancing. I feel like I could have been an incredible dancer if I just didn't give it up. But I chose, I chose sports. I chose girls. I chose being a kid. I chose, just being a kid and living life.
Right. And then you entered.
He didn't choose that though.
What?
You were bullied. Is the reason you stopped dancing?
No, I chose because I got forced by kids in school that was weird, that was gay, that was wrong, and I let it get to me, And I wanted to fit in with everybody else. I didn't want to be this. I was scared to be who I wanted to be. And that's, again, people watching this, I want you guys to be whoever you want to be. And don't let people tell you what you can and you can't be. Like, do what makes you happy because that's what's going to make you the most successful in life. You know, I'm sure your dad and your mom would tell you the same thing, Abby. You know, you had amazing parents growing up. They would say the same thing. And that's what my mom told me as well.
How was that for you? Were you devastated? Or you thought, it's a phase?
I always thought Mackenzie was going to be a singer anyway. I never, ever thought dance was his leading talent. I just knew the dancing would help the singing. And when you're young, when you are 6 years old, you're not going to be a pop star. So musical theatre was the way where he could sing. But doing all three, being a triple threat, made the entertainment industry on a whole easier to work.
Right. As a kid... Growing up, you're not going to be a pop star. You need to do something. Yeah. And that's going to be theater in the West End.
And I just always knew that dancing was always going to help him. So I was disappointed. However, the goal was always to sing.
Right. But he's watching Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And
Justin Timberlake,
who are great dancers.
Yeah.
Naturally, whether they had a lot of training or didn't have a lot of training, they could get out there and dance with their songs. Right.
No, definitely.
And that's what you wanted for him.
Yeah.
Right. So now we jump ahead and you come to America and you're in a talent convention, talent competition type thing.
Yeah. That's how we came here and met his agent.
Right. Now,
Fun story, actually, about that trip when I did that convention. We went to Disneyland, and there was an American Idol experience going on for kids. And I actually won it. I won the American Idol experience at Disney. When I was, how old was I, Mom? Like 9?
No, 10? No. 12.
12, like yeah. 12,
oh,
yeah.
Oh my
12.
Goodness, we've come full circle.
Mm-hmm.
And now,
bam, the golden ticket.
Close. Now it's the real thing, you know?
That's, well, see, and being prepared. Always being ready to sing. I mean, always being ready to sing. When you walked into my studio that day and your mother was blah, 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 and I thought, okay, another mother with a kid that's going to be a star. And I said, sing, and you sang.
Yeah, that's what I think makes me different. All these other, you know, these other kids who did social media and now trying to do singing, like, no disrespect to them. I love what they're trying to do, but I'm not a part of that. I was a singer first, then I did social media. And I think that's what made you appeal to me, is something different than all these other kids. You know, I'm a true musician.
Well, and you said it, you're a true musician. And for a long time, your mom would be in the back area at the studio behind the scenes with me. And we were just kind of, I don't want to say trashing, but we were kind of just dismissive of all this social media stuff.
Yeah, I should have done more.
It wasn't really talent. It was just kids lip syncing, because it started with Musical.ly, lip syncing other people's songs. It started with kids posing pictures and being silly and stupid. And YouTube started with goofy little nonchalant, not filmed very well footage.
Yeah.
And that's how it all began. And you were above that. I don't want to say that you acted like you were better. That's what I mean. But you had real talent. You don't need to do that, because you can really sing.
It was frustrating. I think it was frustrating that the fact that you've spent so many years and so much money on coaching.
For the dancers in my studio that were really dancers.
Yeah.
You don't need to do all that stuff, because you can really dance.
And then all of a sudden social media came along, and kids that hadn't put in the time or the effort or the money were becoming famous. They were becoming more successful, but
Insta famous.
Yeah. But now that I've gone back and we noticed Mackenzie had 46,000 followers 10 years ago on Instagram.
When I walked in that studio, well, the first time I met Abby, I just looked as well. I was around 46, 50K followers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was 46 10 years ago. And you just hit 1 million probably a month ago. So that's 10 years it took us to get there. But we're knocking these kids. However, they've all got work ethic. I've got to go back and look at it. And yeah, I do believe anything and anybody can go viral on social media and become famous. But the work ethic those kids or those people have, I don't think there's a person on the planet works harder than Jake and Logan Paul.
Like, well, I work pretty hard.
No, but I'm.
Well, yeah, Abby as well.
No, I'm talking about, we're saying don't have a specific talent, and some people didn't start off with great talent, but they had work ethic.
They did have work
ethic. And I strongly believe.
Like those Ripka twin girls just hit, I think, 10 million on YouTube, their followers, but they work hard at their YouTube content. But let's all be fair. I mean, come on. It wasn't working in a railroad. It's not digging a ditch. You're not in West Virginia going down in a mine.
It's
to mine coal.
Though, you know, like to get behind, like I've done because of Mackenzie, I've started doing a little bit of social media. And how many days do you not want to go live? Do you not want to put hair and makeup on and film?
Oh,
and
yes.
It still is.
That's why I'm always behind on my cameos, because I want them to be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to have my hair done and my makeup on and be in front of my background.
And it is sometimes, it is difficult to motivate yourself to do that. And,
right, but
these people work hard.
They do work hard, but my dad working for the railroad, even though he was in an office later in life, you know, when a guy gets his legs chopped off and my dad has to go down and handle the whole thing, and then
I'm with Abby on this.
Call the guy's wife.
Working hard now in 2000 era compared to working hard in like the 1980s, 1970s, like back in the day, completely different.
Think about the nurses during COVID and the doctors and the people that were in the front lines, and there are people or servicemen that are serving our country. You can't compare YouTube silliness with that. I mean, you have to have the work ethic to be successful, though. And that's what you're getting to.
Yeah, that's right. And consistency. And there's been a lot of comments since Mackenzie's American Idol audition. There is a lot of comments saying it's unfair because he's got 12 million followers on TikTok. Or because and I'm like, how is that unfair? That just means he's been hustling longer.
He's been hustling a lot longer since he was six, like and Dr. Doolittle.
It's not unfair. It's just he put the work. He just didn't wake up and go, oh, I want to be a singer. I'm auditioning for this show. He's been trying and trying and trying.
But Mackenzie, you know, and I say this when I tour the country or the world teaching my own events, and you get to an audition, there's three kids up for a TV commercial or whatever. They get down to the last three. Somebody's going to come out to that waiting room and ask each of you how many followers you have on Instagram, how many followers you have on TikTok.
And that's
the kid that gets the job. Even if they're not,
they're
talented. They got down to the last three, but they're going to find out because they want that kid to advertise that product.
It's the same with record labels now. Then it feels like they're not even looking for talent anymore. It just seems like they want to have a creation built already to make the money. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I don't think they're looking at, I see people on this competition. Like, I don't want to say names, but there's a lot of people on American Idol right now that I'm shocked have not already made it. But it's because record labels and stuff want these artists with millions and millions of followers. They're not looking at these talented people because they're not going to make money off it. And that's
hang on a second. I need to stop you there because I agree with what you're saying that the labels have gone into that sort of thing and that has been happening, but there's nobody crossed over. The labels have not had success at that.
They have. They've had a few.
Here you have it. Well. Mother and son, inseparable. The most
we don't
important
agree,
people.
But that's what makes it nice. I love having debates with my mom.
He calls his mother 50 times a day. She calls him 50 times a day. Back and forth. You put them together, whether it's via satellite here on Leave It on the Dance Floor or in the same room, and they are at each other's throats and they disagree about everything. But you can't live with them and you can't live without them. Talent prevails.
Yeah. Yes, talent prevails.
You know whose mother said that? Yeah. That's a quote. Lindsay Lohan's mother.
It's
said,
so true.
Talent
so
prevails.
True. I do think they've tried what you're saying, but with the people that didn't have a natural music ability, it didn't really work out well. It wasn't successful.
100%. No, yeah. Definitely agree. 100%.
Nikia Brown and her son Mackenzie are originally from the north of England, but they have been here in the good old USA for more than 10 years. It's like Mackenzie's grown up here. He really has.
Yeah.
This is his life. These are his friends. And he is all things Americana. He is. So Mackenzie, you are 23 years old and you live in your own home in Las Vegas, Nevada. You have a 3-bedroom, 2-bath?
2.5.
2.5 bath home. You're quite successful in your own right, but this has been a dream. And to me, you're just not successful enough. We need to see this through.
Yes.
This is going to happen. We knew it was going to happen. I envisioned it. I knew it. Some things take longer than others. And what is it, a fine wine? You have to age like a fine wine.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, the older, the better. And you being 23, having this amazing experience, you've started out, you did the West End, you did this, you did that. And now you're into social media, you're into TikTok, and it's silly, goofy things with your mom. It's not my cup of tea, but we'll show you a few of those.
We are really funny, though.
You're in some. You've done like 10 with me. You just told me there's been comments about me having 12 million followers and people are saying I'm at an advantage on this competition because of that.
But you don't sing on the TikToks.
No.
That's what I'm going to say. Realistically, I don't think I am because these videos are made to make people laugh and comedy. And this is like, it's like what Joji did. It's like what Post Malone did. You know, Post Malone had a YouTube account where he made these dumb videos and then took off. Same with Joji. Joji had a YouTube account and then was just comedy. And then he pushed in music. So I guess that's what I'm trying to do right now. Is transitioning to what I love. My mom gave me this quote, imagine wanting to be a heart surgeon, right? And getting told all you could do is take blood pressure. That's how I feel right now doing what I do. I want to be a heart surgeon.
Let's go back, Mackenzie, to I want it. You know, you are a singer and you've thrown out some names here. I really don't know who those names are, but give me three of your favorite all-time singers.
All-time singers?
Three.
Stevie Wonder, my number one. Sam Cooke. What's my third going to be?
I know.
Boyz II Men. Boyz II Men.
Boyz II Men. Okay, Nikki, what are your three favorite all-time singers? And you can't take his.
Stevie, I've got to take Stevie Wonder.
Nah, you can't take mine. That's cheating. No. Do something different.
James Arthur.
James Arthur. Okay.
John Bellion.
John Bellion.
I'm just going to steal his others.
That doesn't count. I'm changing mine. I'm changing mine.
Aretha Franklin.
Aretha Franklin. So one of my students, who I'm very proud to say, just booked another Broadway show. So now I have students in 25 Broadway shows. Her name is Kirsten Bracken, and she is in a show called Sups, and it's produced by Hillary Clinton, our former first lady. She actually sang for her audition, Respect by Aretha Franklin, and I coached her on that audition, and that's when she was in high school, and I took her to New York, and she auditioned for the first national tour of Hairspray and got it, and her parents wouldn't let her take it. That's another story for another time. You're
she's lucky. Been on the podcast.
Yeah, she's been on the podcast. She talked about that whole thing. So check those former ALDC members that did podcasts with me. You can go back and look at Leave It on the Dance Floor and check out Kirsten Bracken. Kirsten Bracken Scott. I always get emails and direct messages online from kids and parents asking if I can record a short video wishing someone a happy birthday, a milestone congratulations on a special achievement, or even just my advice before performing at a competition. With Cameo, my followers, the ALDC elites, have the chance to connect with me directly. Looking to have Abby Lee's last word as you enter an exciting moment of your life? Maybe put you, your friend, or a special someone at the top of the pyramid? Or do you want them at the very bottom? Anything is possible on Cameo. Connect with me from anywhere on the globe at cameo.com/TheRealAbbyLee. That's cameo.com/TheRealAbbyLee. The sky's the limit on Cameo. Now, Mackenzie, on to you. Tell me three adjectives that best describe you as a person.
Energetic is number one. Passionate. Unexpectable.
Oh, great. Those are three great words.
I didn't say that one, did I?
Mackenzie.
No, not what I was thinking the whole time.
What?
My tattoo right here.
Yeah, I know. We're going to stop with those tattoos.
It's not that bad. It's okay, fine. Yeah,
stop. Bad. That's like putting a bumper sticker on a Bentley. Nobody ever told you that?
He's not really Bentley.
It's not Bentley? It's more like a Ford truck. Okay, Mackenzie. We've done a few of your TikToks together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Which one do you know? What got some views?
Well, I do remember one. The first one we did, we were in Pittsburgh on our way to a competition, and you said you wanted to start TikTok.
Okay.
I do remember this. I remember I posted a TikTok with you in the car, and I said if this TikTok gets 1 million likes, Abby is gonna come on TikTok. It got 1 million likes in one day.
Yeah,
and you got around 100, 200,000 followers in one day as well. That's the one thing I do remember about one of our posts.
Well, thank you. You did that, Mackenzie. That was a great idea. Thank you very much.
Well, you're Abby Lee Miller, so I'm not surprised. I love the airplane one too. I just remember the airplane one. The airplane one where you're like trying to talk to me and I just can't be bothered. And it's just...
Is he bugging me on the plane?
Plane.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And tell me how many followers...
Is he bugging me? Do you mean, are you bugging me? Is that what you meant?
No, you were bugging
me. You were bugging me.
No, you were bugging me.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, you were. Oh. You were bugging him.
I love the one where Abby slams the fridge door on your face.
That's in the...
That's my favorite.
That's in the...
That was in the Wish House,
Wish
right?
House? Mm-hmm.
I don't... Is that still there?
Oh, the Wish House, the big fancy Wish House that had Hunt's ketchup instead of Heinz. Yeah. I mean, how fancy can you be? Please.
Like, who would even notice that?
That's the first thing you do. When you date a guy, you go to his house and you look in the fridge. And if it's not Heinz ketchup, you start leaving. That's it. You're out the door. So, Mackenzie, your mom and I were talking about me in the halfway house. Now, it was Easter Sunday and I was granted permission to go to Mass.
Yeah.
Yes. So I've never been to church with people who stood up and took pictures, who got up and down out of the aisles, who went to the bathroom. Who goes to the bathroom while they're at Mass? All
six times.
Who went six times?
I think Mackenzie.
Six times he went to the bathroom.
I think so. He was up and down.
Up and down, in and out, and all these people. And they're all trying to cover me so nobody takes my picture. I don't think anyone at the church even knew who I was.
The paparazzi were in the church?
Oh, I guess. I was so oblivious. I was in so much pain. So
I think every single person in there was a paparazzi, just in disguise. Seriously.
So,
can you remember how fidgety you were?
Well, because I can't. Okay, I believe in God. I believe in the afterlife. I don't want to talk about religion too much, but I believe in something. I'm not an atheist. But I cannot, for the life of me, sit in a, like, a ceremony or whatever it's called.
You can't sit anywhere.
Service. Okay, a service. We're in the service. I bring this circus with me, if you will, to the Mass on Easter Sunday. A circus.
I was well behaved.
Were you right next to me? And I was already feeling like a little sinus headache. I was not myself.
You are very agitated.
Well, with the circus I brought with me, yes, I was agitated.
Diana was just working for you. Diana's phone was constantly going off.
Yeah, Diana was with a couple phones, probably my phone, her phone, like just working on Easter Sunday. So then afterwards, I was insistent we were going to brunch. There was no way in hell that I was going to go to Easter Sunday Mass and then not go to brunch, because I knew I couldn't have Easter dinner.
Yeah, but brunch was not on the map we drew for the halfway house. We didn't add the brunch restaurant. Abby wasn't, she was allowed to leave.
But I had a time permit.
Yeah, but you're allowed to leave to go to church, but you weren't allowed to leave to go have brunch with all of your friends.
Well, I didn't put in for that, but I could have. I could have asked for that.
Oh, I didn't think, okay.
Yeah. So, anywho. We go to DuPar's, best pancakes in Los Angeles. We're there. We're going. They're standing in front of the table. My friends are standing, blocking me as I'm eating a pancake, rushing me. Dee's like, come on, gotta go.
I just thought you were going to get into trouble.
They were obnoxious. All of them were so obnoxious. I just spent 8.5 months in prison for nothing, for walking away from a vacation house.
I'm pretty sure you weren't allowed to go for lunch.
Okay, we did. We went.
Yeah, we were hiding out because the paparazzi were following us, and it wouldn't have been good if they took a picture of you and all your friends having a happy Easter brunch when you didn't have permission from the prison to do that.
Oh my God, you were walking. That's crazy to me.
Yes.
How fast things just happened.
Yes. So then we get back to the halfway house. My Easter celebration is over and I start to get a little more pain and a little more pain. And a little more pain.
The Monday you went to hospital, didn't you?
Yeah. I was literally flapping my wings, my arms. I had to keep moving them. And I walk around and around and around the courtyard of this home. So, Mackenzie, your mom was with me a lot. She spent a lot of time with me. And then the next thing you know, I'm in the hospital. And I'm paralyzed from the neck down. And she had no choice but to bring you. She really didn't want to bring a teenage kid into the hospital to see that. But what were you going to do with him? You had to pick him up. You had to get him to where he needed to go. So here he is at the hospital. Do you remember any of that, Mackenzie?
I remember one moment before that where my heart was just in my throat. I remember my mom quickly rushed you to the hospital. And my mom's like, she's crying hysterically going, I think she's going to die. And I'm like, do you know when something happens and it just feels like a blur, it doesn't feel real? I was just like, I remember I was just on my beanbag in our old apartment, Mom, remember? And I was just like, I was just in pure shock. And I was like, what?
I
remember how secretive everything was at the moment. I was just like, and it's probably the worst I've ever felt in my life when she's told me that. Because you're the closest person I've almost lost in my life so far. And it scared the shit out of me. It scared me. And all I remember is my mum, that phone call off my mum, and I just remember praying and praying and praying and praying and praying.
I had nobody either. Like, I know it wasn't about me, but you didn't have anybody? So it was like, at that time, Diana was on set. I rang Diana, and then she was hysterical and stuck at work. It was like, when we got told, it was all, and then you wouldn't listen. You were very much still off the general anesthesia and the surgery.
Well, I just remember from you telling me that every time I would wake up, I'd say, oh, I'm so glad it's not cancer. And then they would come in and tell me it was cancer. Mm-hmm. And then I'd roll back to sleep and wake up again and say, oh, well, I'm glad it's not cancer. I mean, I don't know.
Were you that out of it?
Yeah, because the surgeon came in and said it was an infection, and then they sent an infection specialist in, and he spoke to me a little bit and said, we're just going to test it and get the correct antibiotic.
Right.
And then the next person to walk in the room introduced himself as Dr. Marin, Abby's oncologist, and we hadn't even been told that it was cancer or anything. He just introduced himself as your oncologist, and I was just like, and that was when you were still asleep. You were still under general anesthesia or something. And that was when I rang Mackenzie and Diana.
That's what the moment he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a night, Mom. It was like midnight. It was like 12, 1 in the morning.
So it was the night before. That was the surgery. This was the next day.
Yeah.
So he's talking about the surgery.
But it was scary. It was a scary time. It's scary for a young kid to see that. And to realize it can happen so fast, because you were with me Easter Sunday.
But he came into the hospital the Monday where you were paralyzed, and yes, he was feeding you. We didn't know what it was, but you were feeding Abby, and then I took you to wherever, or you Ubered to wherever, and then it was David Martin came in to visit you.
That's my attorney, my entertainment attorney.
And then I came back on the night. By then, you were like so ill, and I rang Dr. Malamed, and I said, do you know that Abby's paralyzed from the neck down? And that was when he came running in, and that's what Mackenzie, that chaos. I think your blood pressure was something like
23 over 17.
Uh-huh. It was like you were going to die. They couldn't even get her in an ambulance because your blood pressure was so low. They couldn't even get you in an ambulance to Cedars-Sinai in Beverly Hills.
Well, after going back and reading all the paperwork, which I didn't do for years till I could actually fathom looking at it. My driver's license that was on me was the state of Florida. So I couldn't go to USC because it's a state hospital. They tried to get me into Cedars and there wasn't a bed available.
No, at this point, it was just emergency surgery. He had all the equipment to do the surgery in Beverly Hills. He didn't have what he needed at Marina Del Rey.
Right, but they couldn't get, tried UCLA, and they couldn't get anyone to sign off, a doctor to accept me there. This was a little bit before that. Then as I kept getting worse, I looked at all the paperwork. As I kept getting worse, there was no moving me.
No, they just couldn't. He was like, shall I open you at the front or the back? I remember him asking that question.
And then I remember, and Mackenzie, you should know this, I remember him saying that I could hear him. And he said, that's it, I'm going in. Get the theater ready. Mm-hmm. And I'd never heard of an operating room called a theater before.
That's what we call it in England.
In England, they call it that. But I guess that's a medical, they use that. And get the theater ready. Like, the shows, we're going to, another opening, another show. That's what it was like. And I remember the anesthesiologist coming close to me and me saying, and him saying what was going to happen. And da, da, da. And I said, just tell me I'm going to see you when I wake up. Just tell me, please, I'm going to see you. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't tell you that.
You said, don't let me die. And he said, I can't promise you that. Mm-hmm. It was awful. It was horrific. And then I was sat there for like, I think 14 hours. In total.
Mm-hmm. Nuts. Well, thank you. I've thanked you personally many times, I'm going to thank you publicly in front of the whole world. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being my friend, for being there with me when nobody else was.
Not too long ago, I was in the hospital fighting for my life.
fighting a very rare form of cancer, Burkitt lymphoma, choking my spinal cord, knocking at death's door, and having to go through 10 very invasive rounds of chemotherapy. I never thought I'd be able to stand on my own 2 feet again, let alone teach dance. It wasn't until Dancers Against Cancer visited me during my recovery to help in my time of need that I realized their incredible mission. They have created an alliance in the dance community that provides financial support and inspiration to dance educators, choreographers, studio owners, dancers, and their families who have been impacted by cancer. The I'm a Dancer Against Cancer campaign was founded in 2012 in response to the loss of a young dancer from cancer. Since then, it has become a beacon of hope in the dance community, uniting dancers all over the nation. Join the fight against cancer and help make a difference with the dance community. For more information on how to get involved and make a one-time or even monthly donation, please visit imadanceragainstcancer.org/donate. Again, please get involved and make a difference within the dance community. Visit imadanceragainstcancer.org/donate.
Diana was there, obviously, as well. And then Amanda Mary?
Stolito.
She flew straight out.
Flew straight out.
Yes, she yes. did.
From Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then shortly thereafter, my...
Because she was there when you flatlined.
I didn't really flatline.
No, the machine but did, the machine but not does. One person came...
Running.
Running. We were just dying laughing. Can you imagine the machine flatlines and not one person even stood up in the whole hospital? We were like...
It's... It's the American medical
system. Hospital.
Our health system in America. Yes. Hospital. So, but again, there were some good people. My physical therapist, Dr. Badakian, and Katie mm-hmm. and Megan were absolutely fabulous with me. And there's things I do today, every day, that I thank God I listened to them and took their training, you know, the physical therapy. And you still have to keep doing it forever, always. So, Mackenzie. We're going to have you back a little later. We're going to say goodbye right now. How about telling the people what they can watch for, what we should be tuning into?
Yeah, American Idol, Hollywood Week's coming up, you know, got that golden ticket. Just watch the show. It's going to be a really good season. ABC, or if you miss it on ABC, you can watch it on Hulu on repeat as many times as you want.
Okay, fabulous. We wish you
8 p.m. Sunday nights.
8 p.m. Sunday nights. That's correct. 8 p.m. Sunday nights.
Okay, so everybody watch Mackenzie on American Idol. It's on ABC Sunday at 8 p.m. Please turn your TV sets on. Watch it, watch it, watch it. If you happen to be at dance class or something, then you can catch it on Hulu. Tune in, watch Mackenzie's journey, and we're going to have Mackenzie back for another podcast a little bit later on in the season so he can share the real experience of American Idol with all of you. Thank you so much, Mackenzie. We're going to say goodbye. Thank Take you. Care. Go play soccer,
Mom,
football.
I love you. Love I love you. You both. Bye, guys.
Hi, Ken. Great seeing you.
Oh, Michael's got tattoos. Great. I didn't know you had tattoos.
Ugh. Yes.
Oh, yeah. So Pink wrote like on my hand at a concert, so I got a tattoo because I love her. So.
I love her too.
Yeah.
All right. Pink, I love you too. Okay. So... Let's talk about you. You're living in Las Vegas. You yes. love it. You keep getting yes. me, trying to get me to move to Las
I
Vegas.
I actually just had a phone call from a realtor for that me. I know for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Nikki wants me to move to Vegas. In all honesty, I should have left during COVID and moved to Vegas with her. Even yeah. if it was just a temporary fix in an apartment, at least I wouldn't have been throwing that money away in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yes. So Nikki, tell our viewers what you do for a living.
I'm a momager, really.
Yes.
Yes. I built Mackenzie's social media from scratch. Yeah, that's what I do. That's what I want to do. I want to help children. I want to finish the journey with Mackenzie to get him to a huge platform. And then I want to do it again because I love doing it. And I think I would enjoy doing it way more with somebody that wasn't my child.
Yeah, it's hard to work with your own.
It's a lot harder.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. So why don't you share with the world for the very first time a business that we're both involved in?
Yeah.
Yes, this is kind of your creation, but I've come on board. And you go ahead to introduce it.
It's called U-Star, and it's to develop, to do exactly what we did with Mackenzie, develop kids from the ground up, whether it be acting, dancing, singing, building their social media numbers, and just trying to do an all-round thing to help them move forward, help them get agencies, help them get, and if there is kids or teens that want to come to America, help them get their visa, just help support the whole journey.
Right, because you're knowledgeable, you know it, you did it, you lived it.
I definitely know what not to do.
Exactly.
I learned that.
A lot of parents don't know, and they get caught up with the wrong people, the wrong thing. They end up spending a fortune.
Which I have done.
Yes, and you know, you don't need to do all that. You need to do it the right way, but you need to listen to people that know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And
I'd like to do a convention. There isn't a date on that. I would like to. I feel like there is other companies that do conventions. I feel like they're very expensive for what they are. And I was a struggling single parent. I sold my house and everything to do this. And financially, it's not easy. So I want to try and do it in a way where it's financially
feasible. Yeah, mm-hmm. Doable for people.
For people to be able to...
Normal, average, middle-class people that have a kid with talent, how do they get them to the next step?
And make sure there's follow-through. Make sure there is a follow-through. Make sure that at the convention, the right people are there. Like, you will be there.
Right.
Like, you are somebody, whereas a lot of these conventions don't have the correct people to take kids on the next step.
Right. And just so everybody understands, all of our viewers, we're not talking about a dance convention. There's a million dance conventions in the country. This is very, very different. This is a whole, like, it's a week long.
It's not a competition. There would be a panel, like, as if it's judges, but it would be people such as Abby, or I was going to say Brian Stinson, or just people that have worked in the industry and can help. Casting directors, agents, like people that can help develop.
Real talent managers.
Yes.
Karen, like people that are real, the real deal. You're going to come to Hollywood, to LA, to wherever. It's the real deal. And it's not going to just gouge the parents for every penny they have.
And then drop you. We want to keep working with the people.
Right. So look for that. It's called U-Star. So it's the capital letter U and then STAR, U star, because you are the star of this show. That's right. It's fun. It's exciting. It's great to be working again together to plan something for the future. And who knows? This may be the next big thing.
Yeah. We might find the next big superstar.
That's right. Exciting.
Yes.
So, you guys have come a long way, much, much farther than just the chasing after Abby when she's going to the file police report, huh, Nikki?
Oh, my goodness. Can you remember that?
Oh, my goodness. That is so funny. I think I actually did just have.
I just had my
surgery then,
for your skin cancer.
Yes.
Yes. Unfortunately, Nikki had a bout with skin cancer on her face. And that's always scary when they're going to operate on your face. My goodness. And you're such a beautiful girl.
It's
scary to do that anywhere near your face.
And I had the surgery. And an hour after the surgery, a car picked me up from the production crew and drove me to New York City to go straight to a competition.
Oh, God.
As I arrive, Abby's going crazy and backing out, reversing.
And in the wheelchair. Zoom. Beep, 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 beep. No, it's beep, 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 backwards, in the chair, out, down, out of the building, out onto the street, and I'm going to file a police report. I've had it.
I was chasing you with Brian first, and I think even me and Brian separated. Yeah, and I found you at the police station.
Yes, and I filed a police report, mm-hmm. and for all you Patreon subscribers, you can go now. And hear the actual description that I gave the police officer as they were taking the notes on what happened. We have it. And this is like God, you have to go listen.
It's actually hilarious.
Yes.
I just add also that I don't know if we told you this, Abby. The person in question came up to me and Nikki, like mm-hmm. while you, I think you were still
in Baskin Robbins.
I don't know if you had gotten back.
No,
yet.
She went to Baskin Robbins.
Maybe you were shooting.
She went to Baskin Robbins.
Yeah. Well, no, remember they came up to us, I think during lunch or something. And we were like, why are you talking to us? Like, it was so bizarre.
To be our best friend.
It was so creepy. She was like, oh, you know, like, I really love everything she does. And like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just trying to like work with her and like do this.
Do you
this
think she was on something?
I mean,
maybe.
I don't know. It was either that or the Botox maybe took over the brain for a second. I don't know. But it was weird. I was uncomfortable I low key wish, I was like, I wish I was meaner. I really wish I was meaner. Cause you know me, Abby, I'm like so nice. And like, I also didn't know the history of the whole season of everything that had been going on.
Right.
And I was just like, this bitch, get the hell away from us.
I forgot about that. We were sat in like it sounds bad, like in a bar, but it was closed. The bar wasn't open.
Yes.
It was like a theater bar, but it was closed.
Yes.
There was no staff or whatever.
Right, right.
And we were like just sat by ourselves trying to do work and she came in, didn't she?
Yes, we didn't uh-huh. even like realize, like no one was shooting either.
No,
I was like,
yeah.
Why? Like, that's why I was confused. I was like, there's no cameras. Why mm-hmm. are you coming up to us right now?
Yeah.
Bizarre. But I don't know if we ever told you that, Abby.
I never knew that.
I think so much more happened that day that it was just
it was
pushed
wild.
And, uh-huh.
That was,
she's
you
a
know,
freak.
What a way to send off the season, right? I mean, what
and
a way.
If anybody
just
has seen my white Louis Vuitton bag pocketbook that I had in my lap when I zoomed off, please let me know.
Oh yeah, you did have
it's
that
missing.
Then. You did have that.
It's MIA. So most recently I spent the winter in New York City. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
It was my dream to live there for a while. And I did. And we went back to the theater. We
Same
went
on.
Back to the Baskin Robbins and it's no more.
Oh.
It's not a Dunkin' Donuts / Baskin Robbins.
What is it now?
Well, that's the bad news. The good news is it's a Jimmy John's and I love Jimmy John's. Not as much as I love Baskin Robbins, but it'll work. It was the same place. It was so freaky and we didn't even know it. And we were with a young lady from England, from the UK, not
okay,
you.
Yeah.
And she said, oh my God, Abby, this is the same place that was in the show. This is the same. So we like look around and we see the theater and we're like, oh my God, it is. We didn't even plan it. It was crazy.
Wow.
Crazy.
That was
and there's
crazy
a TikTok
day.
That will throw up that I've been saving actually for this episode. So go
there
to TikTok, ALDC, The Real Abby Lee, and you can see Abby visiting the most iconic place. Yeah.
TikTok.
Crazy.
TikTok.
Wow. I feel like we could do 20 podcasts.
We
like,
could.
I
yeah,
feel
you
like
have
I
to come back.
So much stuff, like hilarious.
You have to come back, Nikki.
Nikki, I hope everybody has enjoyed our kibitzing back and forth and our trip down memory lane. But we have so much. I mean, we could just go on for hours and hours. We didn't even talk about Nikki and I living in the same building, one above each other, so that she could be my caregiver.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about some laughs there.
Yeah.
Crazy.
We went to Miami, went to Pittsburgh. We've toured England three times now.
Three times we've toured England. We have so much more to cover
yeah.
and let you in on some inside scoops. Not ice cream scoops, not Rocky Road or raspberry sorbet, but scoops on the ALDC, which you all know and love because she has traveled with all of the kids and all the moms and has lots of tea to spill. You drink tea every morning.
Yeah.
And I spill the tea every week. On Tuesdays, on Leave It on the Dance Floor. We'll see you next week. ALDC Elites, thank you so very much for listening. Be sure to subscribe and give Leave It on the Dance Floor a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to watch each week and see exclusive behind-the-scenes content like my never-seen-before pictures and videos, from the competitions, some even taken from the wings, classes at the ALDC studio in Pittsburgh, or even our iconic dance concerts, head over to Patreon or become a member on YouTube Premium, linked in the show notes each week. See you on the flip side.
A Huda Media Production.